Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer with you on WNYC, and now we're kicking off a May series called Legal Weed. Every Thursday this month, we're going to hear from Mark Kleiman, who is advising Washington State on their legalization process. Remember, voters made that decision last November. And we'll talk about different considerations each week, the economics of pot, the science behind the drug, addiction. And today we'll talk about who smokes marijuana. Mark Kleiman is also professor of public policy at UCLA's School of Public Affairs and co-author of the book, which came out before the referendum, Marijuana Legalization, What Everyone Needs to Know. Hi, Mark. Welcome back. And thanks so much for agreeing to do this series with us.
Brian, my pleasure.
And as we talk about demographics today and who smokes marijuana, we can start taking some phone calls from some of you on whether you've noticed a shift in either your own opinion on marijuana over time, legalization, or as the legalization becomes more mainstream a conversation, are you noticing any change in your attitude or the attitude of people around you? Or maybe there's a change as your own life changes. As you get older or become a parent or whatever, does that make it more or less taboo, or do you just have to go, you know, sneaking out where your kids can't see you? How are the demographics of who smokes pot relevant to you? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Now, part of this conversation is a follow-up on something Mark Kleiman said the last time he was on the program, and we're going to play that clip from last month. We were talking about how Washington State might label different kinds of pot to show consumers how potent it is, and he said this.
What's complicated about cannabis policy is that it's discussed mostly by people like you and me with advanced degrees. Mm-hmm. It's used mostly by people without high school educations. 60% of all the use days of cannabis in the U.S. are people who don't have a high school diploma.
So 60% of use days of cannabis in the U.S. are by people who don't have a high school diploma. And that caught our ear, Mark, and we talked about that in the office after the segment was over. What does that mean, 60% of use days by people who don't have a high school diploma?
So here's how the number was calculated by my colleague, John Calkins from Carnegie Mellon. The household survey asked people whether they smoke. And if they smoke, asked how many days did you use in the last month? And it also asked lots of demographic questions. So you can add up all the smokers and how many days they reported and do various crosstabs. And it turns out that very heavy smoking is concentrated at the lower end of the educational distribution, which, of course, is also the lower end of the social and economic distribution. So that there's a number of people who smoke a lot. They account for most of the days of use.
Days of use. So to be clear, that doesn't mean that 60% of the people who smoke at all are people without high school diplomas. That's 60% of the total use, which means that people without high school diplomas who smoke tend to smoke more. Is that correct? More
That's
often.
Correct. That's correct. That would not be a true statement about marijuana smokers. It's a true statement about heavy marijuana smokers. Now, not all of people without high school diplomas are dropouts. Some of them are below graduation age.
Right. So that number includes high school students.
That number includes high school students who are a substantial fraction of the market for cannabis. I mean, when we talk about legalization, people tend to forget that about a quarter of the total use of cannabis is people who are under 21, for whom it won't be legal even after legalization.
I don't think that's such a surprising number.
No, it's not. But it means that we're only legalizing about three quarters of the market.
And since we're talking about the demographics of who smokes pot, are there other age concentrations or other demographic concentrations? But thinking about age, maybe people who got into it in historic numbers in the 60s and 70s, baby boomers who went to college at that time or otherwise started smoking at that time, is there a bubble there as those people have aged? So people older than the baby boomers, some of whom are still alive, don't smoke pot as much. Maybe people who are younger than the baby boomers don't smoke pot as much, a lot of Generation Xers. But the baby boomers, as they're in their 50s and 60s, do. Is there anything like that?
I think there's a little bit of evidence that as the boomers retire, they may go back to old practices. One possible consequence of state-level legalization is that respectable members of their community who don't want to be seen doing something illegal will go back to cannabis use once they can buy it at a store. And that's a concern for the regulators, because the cannabis that people were smoking in 1970 is not the stuff that's on the market today. And some of my age mates may get a very unpleasant surprise if they smoke a whole joint of diesel. So there's the question about how you appropriately inform returning consumers who may think they're sophisticated marijuana users but aren't sophisticated about today's pot.
Now, wait a minute. You just created thousands and thousands of people in our listenership who perked up their ears and said, diesel? What's diesel?
Right. Diesel is a variety that apparently smells a lot like gasoline. I don't know why anybody would want to smoke it, but apparently it's quite potent. It's one of the potent varieties that's now on the market. Interesting question, by the way, whether there's going to be trade names. The U.S. Patent and Trademark Office will not register a trademark for an illegal product, which of course cannabis still is nationally, even though it's going to be legal under Washington and Colorado state law. And that's going to raise questions about whether people are poaching on other people's trademarks.
Huh. So no brand names coming to Washington State right away.
Well, I think there will be brand names. The question is what happens when somebody takes advantage of somebody else's reputation.
Right. All right. Judith on the Upper West Side has an observation on marijuana and demographics. Hi, Judith.
Well, I have three neighbors who do this because it comes through the walls, the ceiling, the floor, and I feel like I'm being smoked out. It's horribly unpleasant. And
have you spoken to your neighbors?
I have asked. You can't speak to them directly. They become violent if anything is said to them about anything at all. They have problems with self-control. Oh.
The people in their 50s, you say?
Yes.
Judith, well, if anybody becomes violent about anything, they should be arrested. But thank you for your call. And on that problem, is that going to be another aspect of regulation for Washington State?
It's going to be a huge issue. Washington State has rather ferocious anti-smoking laws. And the new legalization law forbids use in public. So there's some issue about use indoors and you can't use outdoors. Are you allowed to use smoking standing in the doorway? It's going to be a particular problem for apartment dwellers. And it's certainly true that some of the strains that are on the market today are are very, very powerfully odorous. There seems to be a trend toward vaporizing refined products. People have adapted the e-cigarette technology, which allows you to vaporize nicotine without getting tobacco smoke, to the use of cannabis extracts. And I think that may be the solution for people who want to be considerate to their neighbors.
All right. Let's go through
But there's some evidence that the odor-carrying chemicals are also psychoactive on their own. That's science that has yet to be done.
Let's go through some callers real quick with demographic observations on who smokes pot. Kim in Fairfield, and I realize these are anecdotal, not scientific, but Kim in Fairfield, hi, real quick.
Hi. I'm in a Fairfield County, and I definitely noticed in this demographic across different groups in the high school and the young people that it's much more widespread today than it was when I was in high school. And I even had a pediatrician tell me that. So, and it's concerning. It's disconcerting as a parent because we're not talking about the health risks, you know, and pot is just, it can't be safe. It's got to be, you know, it's compromising to their health, and it's just very frustrating.
Kim, thank you. So more common among teenagers today than when she was a teen. Catherine in Brooklyn. Hi, Catherine.
Hi. Excuse me. I'm calling.
What's making you cough exactly? Never mind.
I'm calling because I think that a lot of people who are more educated do smoke marijuana, but it's just something that's not reported because it is illegal. People who are professionals don't want to put themselves in the position to be judged or even to face, to face legal penalties. So when the survey goes around asking people if they smoke marijuana, I myself, I have a master's degree and I smoke a lot of marijuana. And when people ask me if I do, I say no, just because I don't want to get into all that kind of legal stipulation that might occur.
Catherine, I'm going to leave it there. In fact, we have a related comment on our comments page. Tiffany from Long Island City writes, "My husband drinks in front of our kids, but I smoke pot after the kids have gone to bed. They are 8 and 11. Even if it was legal, I'm not sure I would do it in front of my kids. By the way, I work full-time, have a master's degree, and smoke pot pretty much daily," writes that listener.
For all the people who think they can conceal their cannabis use from their kids, I would remind them of the words of Lao Tzu: "Nothing is more obvious than that which is hidden."
Michael on the Upper West Side. Hi, Michael.
Hey, how you doing, Brian? Basically, I just wanted to offer that the last comment kind of was at odds with my experience. My children are in the private schools in New York, and whenever they have an anonymous poll, marijuana use comes up around 95%, which is much higher than any of the other polls. The other thing I just wanted to inform, you often have experts, I listen to you a lot. Your experts should be better informed. The reason they call it diesel is not because it smells like gasoline. They call it diesel because, like Shaq, whose nickname is Diesel, it's very strong. And they call it sour because it smells sour, kind of a pungent odor. But that's why it's called diesel, just for your information.
Thank you.
Because of the strength. Anyway, I just want to let you know that with this generation growing up, it's pretty obvious that level of marijuana use is here to stay. Kind of like immigration, you can legislate all day, but it's just a natural phenomenon that's happening, so we should just adjust to it.
And this private school that your child goes to, is that, kind of an elite, independent private school?
Yeah. And that marijuana is the least of the drug use issues in those schools. It better be universal. In fact, the idea is that kids would probably lie and say they do use it if they don't, just to seem cooler, not the other way around.
The other way around when you're a parent. Michael, thank you very much for that. And so to that point, Mark, one of the heavily cited statistics we hear in New York is that although whites between the ages of 18 and 25 use marijuana at a higher rate than blacks or Latinos, the marijuana arrest rates are skewed in the other direction. 83% of marijuana arrests made between 1998 and 2007 in New York were of blacks or Latinos, according to numbers I have. So do we know the numbers of white versus black or Latino pot smokers by age?
Those numbers are there. I don't have them in my head. I think your caller is right that there are likely to be varying rates of over and under reporting by age and by social class. There are two different surveys of adolescents. One is the household survey, which we talked about. The other is the Monitoring the Future survey, which is done in the schools. And it turns out that if you ask kids in school whether they smoke pot, a lot more of them say yes than if you ask them at home. So all of these numbers should be taken with a certain amount of qualification. But there's no doubt that the age at first use of cannabis has dropped radically from when I was a teenager. Mm-hmm. I mean, I got through high school without knowing anybody who smoked pot. My sister's 3 years younger. There's pot all over the school by the time she graduated. Yeah.
And we just have 30 seconds.
That's really not good.
As a public policy person, do you think about the root of the arrest disparity? Usually has to do with stop and frisk tactics and what people discuss here. But higher income, higher educated smokers, maybe they buy their drugs differently.
Relatively few cannabis arrests are about cannabis. They mostly come from other police activity like stop and frisk.
Mark Kleinman, helping Washington State, and forgive me for cutting you off, but we are out of time for today. Helping Washington State implement their legal marijuana process is going to join us every Thursday this month to talk about different aspects of that. Also, tune into Morning Edition on Monday for a week-long series from the WNYC Newsroom that looks at pot culture in New York and New Jersey and how legalization in other states is affecting it. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.